Welcome to Moxie Bets, presented by Caesars Sportsbook. I'm Katie Mox. Coming up on today's show, Kevin Durant. He's staying in Brooklyn after a meet and greet in Los Angeles with the Nets front office. The two sides have agreed to move forward together after the star requested a trade earlier this summer. The market has responded, but should you put your money on the Nets this season, we'll discuss. And cue the marching bands. College football is finally here. Week zero kicking off this weekend. We'll take a look at some of the popular bets for the CFB season. And you know, Kenny and I are giving you our Mox Locks. Kenny, welcome back to the show. How's it going?
Not too bad. I had a great weekend. Thanks to Leon Edwards.
I heard you hit a parlay.
Yeah, pretty big one. $100 to win $17,000. It was a lotto ticket, and I always advise against those. But my friend convinced me. The last leg was Leon Edwards, fourth or fifth round knockout, and 58 seconds to go in the fight.
Yeah.
What were you saying?
Which nobody really saw coming. Certainly not the way that fight was going.
Yeah, no. The way the fight was going, definitely not. Going into the fifth, I was like, maybe there's a chance because he was clearly losing the fight. Like, the only way he could win was a knockout. But, you know, halfway through, Usman was still dominant. So I was like, this is done. And then I think everyone in the world watching that was stunned. But what a way to win, let me tell you.
What a way to win. And how much money? Well, you said it was $100 to win $17,000?
Yeah, $17,000. And, you know, it's one of those things where
I'm kicking
myself.
Things never happened to me, Kenny.
Yeah. I'll send you the next one. But that one will be sure to lose. Like, even some of my clients, they're like, dude, why didn't you send this to me? I was like, come on, man. Like, I thought there was zero chance this was winning. But, hey, sometimes you get lucky.
Sometimes those little D-gen ones you get really lucky on. Okay, Kenny, stay right there. It's time for the Mox Thought. The biggest news in the NBA right now is Kevin Durant relinquishing his trade request and opting to stay in Brooklyn with the Nets. With one focus, basketball, a collective goal with Nets management to build a lasting franchise and to bring a championship to Brooklyn. But will they? Well, the books like it. Brooklyn's championship odds have moved to the third favorite at plus 750 on Caesars Sportsbook. Odds were as high as plus 5,000 at one point this summer, settling on plus 1,800 just before the news broke out. So are the Nets worth just a little sprinkle to win the NBA championship this year? I'll tell you what, I'm not going to do it. The Nets have been listed as the favorite for the NBA championship since Durant came to Brooklyn in 2019. The team has gone back-to-back disappointing postseasons, getting bounced out in the opening round last season, and they made it to just the conference semis the year before. Team chemistry is a huge factor in winning a championship. We saw it last year play out with the Warriors, my team, last season. Look, talent and teamwork together is what works. And while the Nets certainly have the talent with the likes of KD, Kyrie Irving, and even Seth Curry, they've lacked chemistry. KD staying in Brooklyn boils really down to the lack of options. There was not a team that was willing to give Brooklyn enough pieces for the star forward. So those changes are not going to do, excuse me, there's not going to be any change with the chemistry of this team, which is why they're not getting my money.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, people, we're brought to you by Caesars Sportsbook, the greatest sports betting app of all time. See, it's not just about the daily promos, odd boosts, or the hundreds of ways to wager. It's about the immortal words of Caesar himself. You bet, you get with Caesars Rewards. Every bet you place on the app, no matter the outcome, earns towards exclusive perks at Caesars Rewards destinations everywhere. Hotel stays, concert tickets, bonuses, and more. Download the Caesars Sportsbook app, become a Caesars Rewards member today and get more with every wager. Must be 21 or older to gamble. Gambling problem? Call or text 1-800-522-4700. Okay, let's bring Kenny back in for Capper's Corner, the $17,000 man. You heard what I had to say about Kevin Durant staying with the Nets and what this does for their MVP odds. I will say, in a 90-minute span following the KD news, there were six $1,000 bets placed on the Nets to win. The Nets also received more money in one day to win the title than 20 teams overall, including the Bucks, the Sixers, and the Heat. What do you think, Kenny?
I'm all in on the Nets. One of the lucky ones. Yeah, okay. I have to be. I was one of the lucky ones. I took them when they were 50-1. So I put 1,000 on them to win 50,000. So, you know, I didn't see Kevin Durant getting traded. Like, the Nets were asking for way too much. Like you said, you know, they wanted Devin Booker from the Suns were never trading Devin Booker.
Never.
So I just, excuse me, I didn't see any way that Kyrie and Kevin Durant were not going to be on the Nets to start the season. And I knew that those odds would come down. So I had to take a shot. It gives me a great, you know, so many hedge opportunities with Durant and Kyrie. You know, you talked about the chemistry. I think those are two of the more, you know, I guess we'll call them troll-like players in the NBA where, you know, they're constantly going at the media. So I think the chemistry is going to be good there. I don't see any reason, you know, well, you don't agree? You think it's tough
You don't
there?
See any reason? I mean, they haven't had any kind of chemistry. Even when they had Kyrie and Harden and KD, it was a mess. And I know, obviously, last season with Kyrie and the whole COVID situation and vaccinations, that was a big factor in why there was a lot of turmoil with that team. But they just haven't been able to do it. They're not gelling. They don't have that teamwork. I feel like it's a lot of stars that have their own agenda that aren't willing to work together.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, this is really like their first year of kind of, you know, they've played together. So they have, you know, they've more time to gel. They got rid of Harden, who, you know, anywhere Harden has been, there's always, you know, a little chatter that he is kind of a problem, right? Like, he holds the ball a ton. So they get rid of Harden, frees up more space for KD and Kyrie. They're together another year. I think Kyrie, you know, with the whole vaccine thing, I think if anything, he's going to come into this year grateful that the Nets kept him, right? Like, they allowed him to sit out the home games. I feel like they really catered to him last year to keep him there. So I think if anything, maybe they come into this year feeling refreshed, feeling rejuvenated. It would be.
But do you think Kevin Durant really wants to be there? Or do you just think that there were no trade options for him? I mean, nobody had anything to give up that was worthy of him. So he kind of has no choice. He's got that 4-year deal.
I think both. I'm sure if there were somewhere that would have traded for him or, you know, had the options, the pieces to move, I think he would have obviously been cool with that. The fact that he's here, they had a meeting. Obviously, they put out the report. They had a meeting yesterday where they all came and sat down. Kind of reminds me of the meeting they had in the Hamptons to get Kevin Durant to the Warriors, right? Like, they all kind of have a little powwow together and sing Kumbaya and make up and everything's good. So, I don't know. Kevin Durant, top five player in the NBA. Kyrie, another elite talent. It would look really bad for them if they don't win a championship, because when they came to Brooklyn, you know, all the hype was around the Brooklyn Nets. So I like the Nets. Yeah.
All right, you like the Nets. Well, considering you like the Nets, do you like Kevin Durant to win MVP? He's currently at plus 900. Luka Doncic leading the pack at plus 500, followed by Joel Embiid at plus 600. Giannis at plus 650, the Greek freak. And we got Jokic, the Joker, at plus 850. And then, of course, Durant at plus 900. Who do you like?
When you list the prices of them, you know, like the odds, Kevin Durant at plus 900, when you talk about, you know, what Jokic and Embiid and Giannis and, you know, Luka, Kevin Durant at plus 900 is, from a value standpoint, tremendous, right? Because he's, when he's on and he's playing his game, he's better than all of those guys. It's not even close. So you're getting Kevin Durant at plus 900. I don't hate it. Definitely going to sprinkle a little, not going to go crazy on it, just a little bit.
Yeah.
I like him and I like Ja Morant. You could take both of those players. They're both great odds. So if one hits, you're going to make a lot of money. So, yeah, I put a little on Kevin Durant and then a little bit on Ja Morant in case Ja Morant has another season like he did last year. Because if he plays like he did last year, just gets a little bit better. I mean, he's fun to watch. He's a highlight reel waiting to happen. So, you know, makes huge plays. So, I mean, I could see either one of those guys winning it, but the MVP is tough. So tough to predict. Like, look at last year, Embiid, it seemed like he had it locked up, and then Jokic comes from behind and steals it for a second straight year. So,
I agree. And you know, it's going to be exciting to see Ja Morant against the Warriors again on that Christmas Day showdown. Obviously, I'll be rooting for the other side. But yeah, Ja Morant is such a talent. It's interesting to me, though, that the Grizzlies seem to do better when he's off the court just because he's such a showman. And I feel like every time he's on the floor, it's like, give it to Ja, give it to Ja, give it to Ja. And they tend to work a little bit better when he's not there. But maybe they'll work on that in the offseason, which would be interesting to see. So unlike my analysis of the Nets, I actually like Luka plus 500, despite this being his third consecutive season being the favorite and not actually winning the favorite. The Joker, like I said, two-time defending winner. No one has done a three-peat since Larry Bird during 84-86. He finished fifth in voting last year, mostly due to a slow start. He also had some injury issues. He's fully healthy. He was absolutely dominant in the playoffs last year, almost single-handedly beating the Suns and getting Dallas to the Western Conference Finals. The Warriors, obviously, a little bit too much for them, but I think this is the year. I think it's the year for Luka. I thought he was great. And I, you know, I do love that he was having a beer before the game, the Western Conference Finals last year.
Yeah, I mean, how can you not like that? Just, you know, just a bro, right? Out there chilling. I think it was him and Boban having a couple brews before a playoff game. Gotta love it.
Gotta absolutely love it. Okay, let's switch to some CFB here. It's finally football season. So let's revisit the Heisman futures. You've got CJ Stroud at plus 200, Bryce Young plus 430, Caleb Williams at plus 700, Trayvon Henderson at plus 2000, Will Anderson Jr. plus 2200. He actually has the most bets to win it, and he is second in handle. What do you think?
So, I mean, CJ Stroud is the favorite is I wouldn't be shocked if he won, but at plus 200, plus 250, I don't love that. You know, like it's, you're not getting a ton of value. You're putting money. You have to wait months to get a return on it. I'm going to go Jahmyr Gibbs, the running back from Alabama. He transferred in from Georgia Tech. In 19 games, he has 1,900 scrimmage yards, 13 touchdowns. He's averaging over 5 yards a carry, and he's no stranger to catching the ball. He has 60 career catches. So you take him from a Georgia Tech team that is not very good. They have a good running game, but they're not a good team at all. And you put him in a team like Alabama with one of the best offensive lines in the country. They have Bryce Young, so a ton of attention is going to be on Bryce Young. Should open up a ton of space for Gibbs to get loose, have a ton of explosive plays. You know, usually the Heisman is the quarterback's award, but Bryce Young won it last year. There's only been one repeat winner. You look at guys like Tebow, Manziel, Lamar Jackson, they actually had arguably better seasons the year after winning the Heisman, and they didn't win it the following year. So, you know, those voters tend to favor new, like, you know, I guess new winners, right? Like they don't want to give it to the same guy. So that for that reason, I don't really love Bryce Young. Jahmyr Gibbs is going to be returning kicks. We've seen it in the past where, you know, guys have explosive kick returns and it boosts them. They have those highlight moments and it boosts them to the top of the Heisman race. So, yeah, I like Jahmyr Gibbs at plus 2,400, a ton of value there. He's going to be the running back on the best team in the country. So, I mean, I like it. Derrick Henry won it for them a few years ago. He had around 2,000 yards and 20 touchdowns. If Jahmyr Gibbs can get to that mark, he has a great chance to win it.
Well, I think that's an incredible long shot. And I agree with you. You do have to wait an entire year for these things. But whenever I'm betting on something that's up to voters, I do tend to swift a little bit more towards the favorite. So I'm going to go CJ Stroud on this one, quarterback for Ohio State. He had 44 touchdowns last season. Kid's just a stud. He fits well into Ryan Day's offense. Jim Harbaugh spoiled his Heisman hopes last year. That loss to Michigan, I think, really screwed him in votes. He lost a couple wide receivers, but Ohio not lacking in depth in the receivers room, including Jaxon Smith-Njigba, who led the Buckeyes in receptions and receiving yards last year. I think it's his award to lose. So even at plus 500, I know it's a lot of chalk. I'm still going to go with CJ Stroud.
Yeah, it's definitely chalk. But like I said, you know, and you said, he's in that Ohio State offense, which is every year a prolific offense. So he has the pieces around him. Wouldn't be shocked at all if he wins it, especially looking at how good he was last year. Guy was incredible.
It just absolutely incredible. Okay, let's look at some SEC East bets. The defending national champions, the Georgia Bulldogs, are the favored to win the SEC East at -475. But bettors are actually backing the underdogs. You got the Florida Gators at +1100, Kentucky Wildcats +900, Tennessee Vols at +1100, and the South Carolina Gamecocks at +3000. They all have more money to win the division. The Bulldogs should be a lock to win the division, but how far do you see them going this year?
So Georgia, at -450, 495 or something like that to win the division,
475,
right?
To win the division, yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to sprinkle on Florida. I think Florida at +1100 is a gift. They're usually a competitive team. They get new head coach Billy Napier from Louisiana. We all saw what the Raging Cajuns offense has done the last few years since he took over there. One of the best offenses in the country. Now they get sophomore quarterback Anthony Richardson as well, who's 6'4", 240, runs a 4.4 40. He's come into this year, says this is the healthiest he's been. He injured his knee in high school, and this year they did like a little procedure to clean it up. So he's saying this is the healthiest he's ever been. If you watched him last year, he is a highlight. He had like an 80-yard run. First game of the season, he had a 76-yard touchdown run. So he is an elite athlete. You put him with a guy like Billy Napier, who is an offensive genius, similar to like a Sean McVay in the NFL. I think Florida at +1100, obviously Georgia is the obvious choice because they are the Georgia Bulldogs, but right. +1100, it's worth putting a couple dollars on Florida to win that because they have the pieces. They have the coach. They can get it done. All you have to do, if you win out and you just beat Georgia one time, you win it.
That's true. I like that for a long shot, to win the division. Like you said, it should be Georgia. I don't think that Georgia is going to go as far this year. I think they will make the playoffs, but I don't see them in the national championship game again. I just don't think they have an offense that can keep up with Alabama or Ohio. And they lost the most amount of starters than any other team did this season. So I feel like there's going to be a little bit of a setback for the Georgia Bulldogs as well.
Yeah. I totally agree with you. I think they're going to regress a ton. Obviously they could still be a great team, but -490 for them to win that division is steep when you look at the talent that they lost from last year, especially on the defensive side, which was what got them to the championship last year, right? Like that defense was historically one of the better defenses we've ever seen in college football. So, you replace a lot of those key pieces, maybe they're not as good.
I agree. Okay, so switching gears here to the NFL, four teams have had their win total shift in just the last week. The Browns dropped a whole point from 9.5 to 8.5. Colts, 9.5 to 10, little increase there. Saints went from 8 to 8.5, and the Bears went to 6.5, from 6.5 to 6. So let's revisit some overs and unders, starting with the Browns. The new win total is 8.5, down from 9.5. Over is at +130. The under is at -150. So let's take a look here at the schedule, right? We'll just go through some of these games here. So first game, we've got Panthers-Browns, then Browns-Jets, then you got the Steelers and the Falcons. I think that they could beat the Jets and maybe the Falcons. I think they can go 2-2 here. What do you think?
Yeah, I think 2-2 with Brissett. The Panthers game is weird because I feel like everyone is on that Panthers team, like bandwagon for that game, because of the whole Baker Mayfield situation. Yeah. I wouldn't be shocked if the Browns won that game just for, the NFL is always that way where the obvious choice is never the obvious choice. I think 2-2, possibly 3-1 there, depending how Brissett plays. But 2-2 because that's a soft schedule. Like the Jets are a cakewalk, especially without Zach Wilson.
I agree. Okay, so next up gets a little harder. You got the Chargers, the Patriots, the Ravens, and the Bengals. I think they could potentially go 0-4 here, but I'm willing to give them one win. I'll go 1-3. What do you think?
Yeah, I think 0-4, but just for the sake of let's say 1-3, just to see how many wins we can get to at the end here. But yeah, so what are we at? 3 wins so far?
Yes, we're at 3 wins so far, and their total is set to 9.5?
8.5.
I think dropped 8.5. Okay, so moving on. Then we've got the Dolphins, the Bills, the Bucks, and the Texans. They could beat the Texans, although the Texans have looked okay. They've been unbeatable so far in the preseason. Not sure. They're up against the Niners this week. I don't know if they played last night or not. Dolphins are question mark for me, but I think the Dolphins can win that game. Bills, of course, are winning this game. Bucks are going to win this game, although a little worrisome about what's happening on the O-line right now. A lot of injuries for the Buccaneers. So I think, again, we might see a 1-3. What do you think?
The O-line for the Bucks doesn't matter because Brady gets that ball out and just like that.
He doesn't do as well when he's under pressure, though. The O-line is very important to Tom Brady.
No, yeah, it is.
And all quarterbacks, to be fair.
They play the Texans, what, week 10 or 11? Because I think they play when Deshaun Watson comes back, right? Hats off to the NFL. Again, another storyline. I think they should beat the Texans. They have a lot more talent. The Texans are, in my opinion, with the Falcons, two worst teams
right.
in the league.
That is the day that he comes back. The NFL did cleverly do that. Yes.
Of course, right? The NFL, man, they love the storylines. So, yeah, I would say they beat the Texans. Texans with Deshaun Watson should not have a chance against the Browns with Deshaun Watson returning. So, what is that, four wins for them?
Four wins.
Yep, so we're at four wins.
Okay, then we're going to round out the season. We've got the Bengals, the Ravens, the Saints, the Commanders, and the Steelers. What do you think?
So with Deshaun Watson back, I would say they probably go 2-2, maybe 3-1 there. Division rival.
Yeah.
What are you saying?
I don't know how good Deshaun Watson is going to be. He looked terrible in that preseason game. Now, of course, he hadn't played in a year, but the crowds were, I think, chanting at him, calling him like a sick, and I just feel like that's a different kind of pressure that he's going to be under. You're going to be heckled like you've never been heckled before. Like, I don't know if mentally, emotionally, he is stable enough to withstand coming back and having all of that hate on him and performing at a high level, having not played in, almost 2 years now, or will be at that point.
That is a great point. I can't imagine what he's going to hear when he steps out on the field. For the things he was accused of, the fans are going to just tear into him. So, yeah, definitely going to be a new type of pressure on Deshaun Watson that he's never seen before. You're right. This year is not the Browns' year, definitely. I think you and I both can agree we like the under here. And I think it's just kind of like a little – like when he comes back, it will almost be like him just getting acclimated to the game again and really just preparing for next year. I think next year the Browns will have a much better chance, let Deshaun get all the, like you said, the fans heckling out of the way. I think next year it will blow over a little more. People will kind of forget about it and he'll be fine. This year I don't see the Browns doing too much this year. So
I agree. I could see a win from the Saints. There, the Steelers actually look pretty good in training camp. Pickett has actually looked pretty impressive. I do think Trubisky is going to get the job initially, but I wouldn't be surprised if we see Pickett come out later in the season. So I agree with you. We're taking the under here, even if it's at minus 150. Still not going to take that over. So now let's take a look at the Colts win total.
I just want to say one more thing about that Browns one too, is like the total has now dropped like a whole win. So if you were to take it now, you're just taking a bad line, right? Like you thought the Browns were going to go under, taking it at 9.5 was the time to take it. Now that it has dropped a whole game, 8.5, you still might hit it if you take the under, but that game is huge, that extra game. So now that you're taking that line, I would advise against that.
I would agree with you on that one. All right, taking a look at the Colts here. They went from 9.5 to 10, a little bit of an increase. Overs at minus 115, under at minus 105. A little bit more favorable odds for bettors here. So let's take a look at their schedule. So starting off, Texans, Jags, Chiefs, Titans. I feel like they could beat the Jags and the Texans. Chiefs, Titans. They always split with the Titans, so I'll give them... It's at the Colts, so I'll give them the win here. So let's say 3-2. What do you think?
Are they home against the Chiefs or away?
They are home against the Chiefs.
They might be able to start 4-0.
Oh, Wow. Okay. 4-0. Yeah. 3-1 is actually what I was
thinking. I really like this Colts team. I think Matt Ryan, even though he's at the tail end of his career, is a huge upgrade over Carson Wentz.
Huge.
You know, yeah, huge. Jonathan Taylor, absolute stud. The defense is elite. You know, we saw what they did last year. If not for Carson Wentz, they would have been in the playoffs. So, yeah, I like 4-0 there. Obviously, the Chiefs is a toss-up, but.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so I'm 3-1. You are 4-0 there. Next up, we've got the Broncos, the Jags, the Titans again, and the Commanders. Commanders, such a bummer. I liked their over for their win total. However, with injury update, it's looking a little shaky there. What do you think about these four games?
I'll say 2-2, because like you said, they usually split with the Titans, so they're in Tennessee for that one. I think they should handle the Commanders and the Jags. And the Broncos, I'm just so confused on that team because there's so much hype around them, and I know they get Russell Wilson, but I don't understand it. Like, the defense is elite. Like, the cornerbacks, the secondary is probably one of the top in the NFL, but I don't know. Like, when you look at what he did in Seattle the last few years, like, Seattle, he had a ton of weapons around him, and they were not very good, right? Like, so, you know, I would say 2-2 here.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you on 2-2, and I definitely agree on the Broncos. Plus, reports have been that offense isn't as hot as people think it's going to be. So then next up, we've got the Patriots, the Raiders, the Eagles, and the Steelers. Oh, this is a tough one. I do think the Raiders are going to be better this year with Carr and Davante Adams. The Patriots, I know you're already very high on. Eagles, they're also supposed to be very good this year. And then the Steelers, I'll go 2-2 here because I do have high hopes for the Colts. What do you think?
Yeah, I'll go 2-2 as well, just to be on the more conservative side for the win total. I do think they're going to go over their total, but I'll say 2-2 here. I think they lose to the Pats. I think they beat the Eagles and the Steelers. The Raiders is a total toss-up. I'll go 2-2.
Okay, so now we're looking at the Cowboys, the Vikings, the Chargers, Giants, Texans. A little more here to round it out. Cowboys are a question mark for me this season. I don't think they're going to be quite as good. I could say the Colts win that one. Vikings, ooh, that's a tough one. By this time in the season, we'll see how good the Vikings really are if they live up to all of the hype this year. But I do think that Vikings can win that one. I love the Chargers, high on them. They'll win against the Giants and the Texans. So let's say 2-3 here for me.
I'm going to say 3-2. I think they should easily beat the Cowboys. I think the Cowboys are going to regress a ton this year. Losing Amari Cooper, the defense is, you know, we see from training camps, Trayvon Diggs has been getting cooked all training camp, just like he was last year. So I don't think he's going to get as many touchdown interception returns like he did last year. I think they'll beat the Giants. Obviously, the Giants suck. The Texans stink. The Vikings, I'm very high on, so I think the Vikings could take that one. Definitely Chargers. We all know the Chargers are great. So yeah, I'm going to go 3-2 here.
So you have them at 11 wins. I have them at 9. So I'm going to take the under on this one. Looks like you're leaning on that over -115.
Yeah. And it's set at 10. So I think they'll hit 10 or 11, like at 10, you might push it. That's why, again, getting these numbers, like if you got it at 9.5, that's key because now you hit 10, you're winning as opposed to pushing. 92% of the tickets and 96% of the money is on the over. So makes sense why it bumped up.
Okay, let's take a look at the Saints now. They had a jump up about half a point from 8 to 8.5. Over -105, under is at -115. Opening with the Falcons, they, you know, good rivalry there. Then you got the Bucks, the Panthers, and the Vikings. I think they can beat the Falcons. Buccaneers, they have beat pretty much every year since Tom Brady has been there, but there's a lot of question marks here. So I'll give this one to the Bucks reluctantly. Panthers, I think they lose. Vikings, I think they lose. So I'm going 1-3 here.
I'm going to go 2-2. I think they obviously beat the Falcons. They lose Bucks. They should beat the Panthers. And the Vikings, I think, will run through them.
Okay, then they get a little bit easier here. They got the Seahawks, well, just one game, then the Bengals, then the Cards, and the Raiders. I think they beat the Seahawks. I have zero expectations for the Seahawks this year. The Bengals, I'm going to chalk that up to a loss. Cardinals, at this point, I think they will have gotten DeAndre Hopkins back, so I'll say a loss there. Raiders, going to give that a loss as well. Wow, I'm really not high on them. I'm going to give them 1-3 yet again. What do you think?
Yeah, look, going through this, their schedule's pretty tough here. It is. Obviously, they should beat the Seahawks, especially at home. Joe Burrow is going to pass all over that team. Same thing, Cardinals at home. The Cardinals, you know, they're a sneaky team. I actually think they could do pretty well this year. You know, the last few years, they have a ton of hype around them, and then they come in, they look great, and then they fall apart. This year, I feel like there's not too many people that high on the Cardinals. You know, we hear it about all the junk Kyler Murray was getting for that, like the study time in his contract, yeah. Right? I don't know what that was about. And then they took it out, which is real weird. So I'm going to say 1-3 there.
Okay, you're 1-3. So we're in agreement there. Next up, we're looking at the Ravens, the Steelers, the Rams, and my 49ers. So the Ravens, I have high expectations for this year if they can stay healthy. So I'm going to give the Ravens the win there. Steelers, I'll give the Saints a win here. So there's one for the Saints. The Rams are going to lose to the Rams. The Niners, it all depends on Trey Lance. At this point in the season, we'll know how good the Niners are or not, but I'm going to edge the Niners on this one. And then the Bucs, I think they'll at least split with the Bucs, considering they have beat them in every single regular season game since Tom Brady's been there. So I'll go 2-2.
So you're not jumping on the bandwagon with me for the Bucs undefeated season?
No, I am not.
I'm all in on it.
If anyone's going to have an undefeated season, I'm leaning on the Bills on this one. But, you know, look, your Tom Brady fandom knows no limits.
Yeah, the amount of money I won on the on that right arm of Tom Brady, there should be no limits. Like he, the guys paid me more than anyone. So, yeah, Ravens, they're losing for sure. The Steelers is tough because at that point, like, let's say they switch to Kenny Pickett, like it's pretty late in the season. Kenny Pickett might come in and dazzle us all. So, I'm gonna say 0-4 there. I'm not high on the Saints at all this year. I think losing Sean Payton is such a loss. Like, you know, we've heard for the last however many years that he's been there how great Sean Payton is at offensive game planning and stuff. So I think the loss of him is being a little bit underestimated. I feel like it's not talked about enough.
Then we've got the Falcons, the Browns, the Eagles, and the Panthers. It's an easier stretch for them to end this season. I think they can beat the Falcons. Browns, Deshaun Watson's coming back. We'll see how that looks, but I'll edge the Browns on that one. Eagles, I think they're going to lose that game. Panthers, they can win. I'll go 2-2.
Yeah, I'm with you 2-2 there. Curious how bad the Falcons are going to be because they should be pretty bad, but like Kyle Pitts looks amazing. Mariota doesn't look awful.
So it looks like we're both going under on this one, under the 8, which is at minus 115. You feel good about that?
Yeah, and you said it bumped up from 7.5 to 8?
From 8 to 8.5. So we're both going under the 8.5 here. I wonder why that would bump up.
Well, so according to Caesars, 93% of the tickets and 94% of the money is on the over. So that's probably why they bumped it up. But yeah, 8.5, I love that under because at best case scenario, I see them winning 8 games. And like I obviously going through that, I have them way under
best case scenario. Yeah, you have them 0-4 in one stretch there. Okay, let's move on to the Bears win total. Theirs dropped down to 6 from 6.5. The over at +105, plus money there, or the under at -125. The Bears have not looked great in preseason. I will see that, but let's take a look at their schedule right here. They're kicking off with the 49ers. Then they've got the Packers. Aaron Rodgers, as we know, owns them. Then you've got the Texans, and then you've got the Giants. I think they're going to lose to the 49ers, although brand new quarterback Trey Lance coming into Soldier Field against that Chicago defense. That's going to be a tough, tough test for him. They're going to lose against the Packers, so they're already 0-2. Win against Texans, there's a 1-1 there. And then the Giants, I think they're going to lose to the Giants as well, so I'll have them going 1-3 here. What do you think?
I'm going to say 3-1. I think they beat the Niners. I really do think they beat the Niners.
Okay, why?
Obviously, at Lambeau, Aaron Rodgers, we all know what he does to the Bears. Texans. Yeah. Texans, nothing good to say about them. And the Giants, I mean, the Giants stink. I and maybe that's a bias because the Giants beat me twice in the Super Bowl, but I just hate the Giants. Like, yeah. I also, being from Jersey, all my friends are like Giants fans, and they're just the worst. Like, the worst.
Only if you're a Patriots fan, I feel like the Giants are the worst. But okay, fine. You're high on them right now, at least to start the season. Next, we've got the Vikings, who I know are one of your favorites. Then you got the Commanders, the Patriots, and the Cowboys. I see them going 1-3 here again. I think the Commanders could be a good matchup with them, especially with the injuries there. Other than that, yeah, I'm 1-3. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree. 1-3. The Vikings should outclass them, especially in Minnesota. They should beat the Commanders. Patriots, Bill Belichick usually schemes for running quarterbacks very well. So I don't see them beating the Pats, especially in New England. And the Cowboys, I mean, the Cowboys, you never know. They're a mixed bag. Like, they disappoint all the time, but I'll give the Cowboys the winner. So 1-3.
Yeah, they disappoint in the postseason for sure, but regular season, they tend to squeak out some wins. Although I do think that the NFC East has gotten tougher this year. I don't think that they're necessarily the clear favorite. All right, moving on. We've got the Dolphins, the Lions, which are an interesting one this year. You got the Falcons, you got the Jets. This is a good stretch for them. I can see them beating the Lions. I'm not super high on the Lions this year. Lost to the Dolphins, although I have no faith really in Tua. No, I'm
not. You're
not
high on the Lions?
No, I love Dan Campbell. I've been watching Hard Knocks, okay? I love it. But no, I just, you know who I don't believe in is the quarterback, okay? I mean, I knew him really well, obviously being an NFC West team. I don't have any faith in him. I don't think that Dan Campbell does either.
Yeah, I mean, for the Rams to have traded him away for Stafford for like 1 or 2 years, they must not have had a lot of free. What?
Yeah. For nothing. Yeah, they basically gave him away for free. They were like, here,
especially
take this.
Like McVay doing that. McVay knows a lot more about offensive football than I do. So the fact that they traded him away, like you said, for pretty much nothing. I mean, it worked out. They won the Super Bowl, but yeah. So Goff, I think, is just like a middle of the road quarterback. He's good enough to be a starter, but he's never going to take that team anywhere.
Yeah, I agree. So I think they could beat the Falcons, the Lions, and the Jets. I think they can go 3-1 here, which is the most I'm giving them.
Yeah, 3-1. I agree with you. I'm at 7 wins already for the Bears.
You're pretty high on the Bears right now. I was higher on them until I saw the way that they've been playing in the preseason games. Although I know that means nothing, but it's been pretty, pretty bad.
This is where the stretch gets rough for them, looking at the schedule.
Yes, because you've got Packers, Eagles, Bills, Bears, Vikings. Excuse me, Lions, Vikings. I don't know. I see maybe the Lions get one win on them this year, so I could see 0-4 to end the season here.
I'm going to say 1-4. I think they lose to the Vikings again. I think they beat the Lions again. They lose to the Bills, lose to the Eagles, lose to the Packers.
Okay, so it seems like you're going over for the Bears win total this season.
Yeah, I mean, when we talked about this earlier, you know, I think a month ago we were discussing the Bears win total, and Caesar said they were the most bet on team to go under their win total. So yeah, I love fading that. So with that information,
it's at plus money, plus 105. Yeah.
Yeah. Plus money too. So you can't be mad at that. Obviously, if you're listening, don't go put your life savings on the Bears to go over the win total, but you know,
on the Bears.
Yeah. But I do like it. For the fact that everyone is fading the Bears this year, they look terrible in the preseason, but the preseason doesn't mean anything. It literally means nothing. We've heard how the players want to get rid of it. So they probably don't even care right now. Yeah, I like that. 6.5 wins, easy. I mean, I'm going 3-1 in the first 4 weeks, so we're halfway there.
Okay, so let's talk Subway Series now. The Yankees and the Mets closed out their season series last night with the Yankees winning the final two games of the Subway Series. There was a lot of talk heading into that series that the Mets could be New York's team now that the Yankees had some serious struggles, although they definitely bounced back last night and through this series. What do you think as a Mets fan?
What crazy person was saying that New York is now the Mets city? I mean,
not you, I guess. Yeah, Mets fans except for you. Yeah.
No, yeah. I have to take that one on the chin. I did say that, but you know, I actually bet the Yankees the last two games. The Yankees, they had been struggling mightily, but they were facing a ton of breaking ball pitchers. The Yankees don't hit breaking balls that well. Scherzer throws a fastball 50% of the time, right? Yankees crush fastballs. Yeah. Even Walker, he's a big fastball pitcher. So I looked at those matchups and I thought this is where the Yankees kind of get right.
Okay.
Going forward though, for the like a season outlook, I still think the Mets have a better chance to get to the World Series and win it. I think when it comes to the playoffs, I think the Yankees, I don't know, it's just something about the team I don't love. I don't know what it is. I just don't love the
fact
team.
That they're wearing pinstripes and called the Yankees, maybe.
Yeah, it's possible that's what it is. I think it's just looking at, it's like essentially the same team from the last few years, and where, especially now, you're starting to see it again, where they're kind of, I just feel like they kind of rely on hitting home runs. You know, it was weird last night, in last night's game, both the Mets and the Yankees looked like they were taking it back to like 1990, laying down bunts and, you know, suicide squeezes. It was pretty cool to watch, but yeah, season outlook, I like the Mets.
Okay. So we'll hopefully see this come October.
Yeah, and the Mets have one of the easier schedules going down the stretch. They play the Nationals a ton, the Marlins a ton. So they have a pretty easy schedule down the rest of the way.
Moxie Bets is presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook, the greatest sports betting app of all time. Download it. Must be 21 or older. All right, the time has come for Mox Locks, where Kenny and I will give you our best bets for the MLB slate tonight. I've got one play today, the White Sox money line versus the Orioles at minus 120. Baltimore leads the season series 4-1. Now, the Sox have been pretty hot and cold this month, going from a five-game win streak to 1-5 in their last six. We got two right-handed pitchers tonight. You got Lucas Giolito for the Sox versus Spencer Watkins for the O's. Giolito 9-7 with a 6.12 ERA in his last five starts. Not great. Watkins 4-3 with a 4.70 ERA in the last five. So the numbers would suggest that the O's have the pitching advantage here. However, Giolito has been better against right-handed swings, which the O's have plenty of. He's at 0.641 OPS against and at a 31% K rate. Baltimore's offense has slowed down over the last 10 games, of course, with the exception of that 15-score game versus the Red Sox. Chicago also 7-0 in their last seven game twos of a series. So I'm leaning and I'm betting on the White Sox money line. Kenny, what do you think?
Yeah, I like that one a lot. I think overall the White Sox are a better team. The Orioles have surprised me. I thought, especially after trading Trey Mancini, that they would kind of fade away here, but it's been anything but. They look really good. But yeah, I like the White Sox here in that spot with Jose Abreu, Lou Bob back in the lineup. Giolito has looked pretty rough as of late, so I don't love backing him, but I do think this is a great spot to take the White Sox. And the Orioles are usually a team where the public is all over, especially at plus money. So I think this is a good take, a good spot to take an unpopular favorite for sure.
All right, let's make $17,000 on this somehow. Yes. Just kidding. I'm not going to bet that much money on minus 120, but what's your bet for the day?
So I'm going to go Boston Red Sox. Look, they've lost the last.
We're both doing Sox.
Yeah. We should just make a little Sox parlay.
We should.
So they got swept by the Blue Jays a month ago in Fenway. And I don't know if you remember one of those games, the Blue Jays put up 28 runs on them. So, yeah, I thought Boston would, you know, bounce back like yesterday. I thought they would win that game one. Didn't happen. The Blue Jays put up 8 runs in the third inning. But this line is weird to me. It opened up at around minus 180. It's dropped. The Blue Jays are around minus 150, minus 160, depending where you look. I like the Red Sox just on principle. Like, they have to win one of these games. They have two games left against the Jays. They're probably going to be plus money in both of them. So I'm going to take them today. If they win, cool. If they lose, I'm taking them again tomorrow. Because I would be shocked if the Red Sox get swept at home by the Blue Jays in back-to-back series.
All right. I like it. I'm just seeing what this parlay, this Sox parlay, it's at plus 322 to take the White Sox and the Red Sox on the money line. I might actually place this one, Kenny. Let's win some money.
Yeah, I like that one a lot, actually. 322 is a nice payout. A little 500 to win about 1600.
Let's go. Hopefully you're riding with us on this one. Kenny, thank you so much for joining the show. This has been Moxie Bets presented by Caesars Sportsbook. If you're not already, follow us on social at Moxie Bets. You can also follow me at Katie Mox on Twitter and at Katie Mox Bets on Instagram. Kenny is at Kenny Bets Big. We'll see you on Friday.